2:13. We often find ourselves in great need and fail to look to the Lord for His help and His strength, which is ever present with us all the time, even when we are not aware of it. The Lord will not and cannot forsake His people. He remains faithful. Even when we walk in doubt and in unbelief, God remains faithful. Does not change the faithfulness of God. Our not exercising our faith doesn't change what our God does. It sure changes our outlook. It sure changes how we feel. And today, may the Lord bless us all to walk by faith, to trust in the Lord, to lean on Him and depend upon Him. The Lord who is our salvation and our strength and our help in every trouble and in every situation. I surely feel the need of your prayers. Appreciate Brother Charles' prayer. As I stand before you this morning, I want to ask you just to please pray for me that I would be faithful to study the Word of God, that I would be faithful to be blessed to rightly divide the Word of truth, and that I would be faithful to earnestly contend for the truth, for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And that I would speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. And that I would stand upon the truth of God's Word to the very best of my ability. As long as I'm breathing air in this world until the Lord returns, which we could see at any time, we're waiting on Him. And as we sung this morning, what a day it will be when the Lord does come and gather His children out of this world. But as sure as we're in this world, we need that friend. We need what a friend we have, and that friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded that we have Him, not because we made Him our friend, but because He loved us and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. So just pray for me this morning as we look at a portion of Scripture found in the Old Testament in the book of Micah. In the book of Micah chapter 6, I'd like to read from the beginning of verse 1. Micah chapter 6, right after the book of Jonas, prophet Micah, in your Old Testament. And he's considered one of the minor prophets. And minor not because what he wrote was any more or less important than what others wrote. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and therefore it's profitable. So what Micah wrote was just as important as any other writer. But one of the minor prophets, because it's a short book, that's why they were referred to as the minor prophets. And Micah here in chapter 6 writes to us something that's very important because it comes from the Lord. And that's why everything that's in your Bible is important, is because the Lord moved in to write it and pin it down. Now, this was written probably around 700 years before the coming of Christ. So if you look at where we are in time, quite a while ago, all of these things were pinned down. And yet we know that the things that were written in the past were written aforetime, given to us aforetime, were written for our learning, that we might, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, have hope, through comfort. Let me get that. It's found in the book of Romans, the verse I'm thinking of. And I'll just read that in order to let you know why what we read in the Old Testament is good for us today and necessary for us today. This verse I often go to when we're looking at an Old Testament passage. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," that is what Micah wrote, "were written for our learning." So it wasn't just written for those people in that day and age, or people in the New Testament day, but people in our day and age. And as long as this world stands, this verse will stand as true. "That we through patience," that is waiting on the Lord, looking to the Lord, asking the Lord. I hope that's how you come this morning. Lord, give us the information, the truth that we need to know. Come praying that way. If you have not prayed that, please pray that the Lord would bless us. And when you come to the Lord's house, always come praying that God would give us the the message, because without the Lord blessing the minister, there's no preaching. He's the one who makes able ministers. And God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God has chosen this means not to bring the dead to life, but to bring life to those he's made alive. And many people misunderstand that and think God chose the means of preaching in order to quicken the dead. Most people, a lot of even God's children believe that God uses the preaching of the gospel to bring those that are dead in sins to life in Christ. That's to be quickening. The gospel is not for that purpose. The purpose of the gospel is to feed the little lambs and the sheep of God that God has already born again and made alive by the power of his Holy Spirit. Now, there may be times that one is born again, even in a meeting, where the preaching of the gospel is going on, and the brother came in, a dead alien sinner, and went out a little child of grace. But I want to say to you, the Lord didn't use the means of preaching to do that. The Lord quickened them. If they heard the preaching, it was because they were already spiritual. If they embraced the preaching, it's because they had a spiritual mind. If they could understand it and hear it, that means they are God's children. Isn't that good news? Today, if you have a hunger, it's because you're alive. If you have an interest spiritually for spiritual things, that means you're not just natural. You're spiritual. And you didn't get spiritual through the Lord using a preacher to quicken you. You got spiritual through the Holy Spirit coming into your heart. You heard the voice of the Son of God saying that you live, and they that hear, he says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now this is the same powerful voice that one day is going to call out to the dead in the graves, and those dead in the graves are going to hear that voice and they're going to come forth. The Lord's not going to use preachers to do that. He could have if he'd have seen fit to, but the Bible says that he is going to shout. It's going to be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and they're going to hear his voice, and they're not going to make a deal with God whether they're coming out or not. When he commands, they're coming out. And I'm saying that what he's going to do at the end of time, he has already done in the lives of these people that have been born again. He's spoken life to the dead. Now, by the grace of God, through the blessings of God, if the Lord is in the matter, can shine some light on that life and immortality. But I can't bring life and immortality. I can simply bring it to life. And even that is only by and through the power of God. Y'all believe that? That makes y'all peculiar folks if you believe that. Because there's a whole lot of people in this world, even God's children, those born of the Spirit, those who have been made alive, those who are quickened, who do not understand how it is that they have life and they feel that they've had some part in it. And the problem with that is it doesn't change that they didn't. It just changes how they feel about it. Because if you felt today that you had some part in it, wouldn't it concern you that maybe that part, like everything else I've ever had a part in, I'm going to mess up? Not only might I mess it up, it's a sure thing I'm going to mess it up if it's left up to me. Here's the good news. The Lord didn't leave it up to us. He didn't. That doesn't have anything to do with Micah. But I'm thankful the Lord gave me that. If I don't say anything else this morning, I want you to rest in that you're a little child of grace because of God's choice and God's work and God's love and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. And there's not one thing you need to add to that, nor could you. And he has done it. He's finished it. And what he has done is complete. And I am about God's little children. We're to tell them what the Lord has done so that they might, first of all, rest in. they might trust in him, and then that they might live in the way that Brother Micah, all the way over in the Old Testament, told us we ought to live. What is required of you? And he lays that out. Okay. I don't even know where I'm at, but that's okay. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. God has given it to us for our learning, that we, through patience, which is a gift of God. If you've got patience today, it's by the gift of God that you have. And probably in your life, a lot of tribulation has taken place that you wondered, why am I going through this tribulation? And yet God in your life was working in you, and tribulation worketh patience in you, and God was working in you, and that patience worked experience, which allows you to know, when I trust in the Lord, my experience is, God always comes through. Is that what you find? Patience, experience. And experience has given you hope, which allows you to say, well, if God came through yesterday, I believe he'll come through today. And therefore, I need to remember. Micah tells them that. Micah lays that out, how that God had taken care of them, and how they ought to be trusted in the Lord. But rather than trusting in the Lord, they were running everywhere else. That's what Micah was telling them. Does that kind of fit us, maybe? That when we ought to be trusting in the Lord this morning, sometimes we're running everywhere else. When the Lord ought to be the most important thing in our life, and worshiping him and serving him ought to be the forefront of our life, when other things just come in and take the place. When we forget that the Lord took us out of the Egyptian bondage that we were in, and the darkness and the ignorance that we were in, and as Gentiles, the idol worshippers, would all we would have ever been, we would have served little gods and looked like us and act like us. And sometimes, dear brothers and sisters, do we not fall into that same trap and run back trusting in those things that we should have left off? When the Lord brought us from dark, from death to life, has he not given us a better way to live? I say he has. Has he not given us a better way to walk? Has he not done all those things he promised? Has God made promises he does not keep? Has God changed? Does God ever change? Do we have a God that's dependable and that we can trust in? Great is what? Thy faithfulness. We have a God who will not do anything but what he has said he would do. And all that he has said for us works together, and all that he'll do for us works together for our what? For our good. Even as he suffers us to go through some difficult times, God's working. Oh, he's working all along. Y'all believe that? Oh, I hope so. It's the truth. He says that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. I need some hope today, don't you? I mean, in this old world that looks so hopeless, if you turn on the news, if it doesn't upset you, you're just not listening to it. And it just makes you feel worse. I'm telling you, it's good to get away from what Brother Jamie has talked to me lately. He says it's good to get away from la-la and come to a place of truth. He said, today I'm hoping to go to Old Mill Church. And I want to get away from La La Land and all of my imagination and my vain babblings and all the stuff that's going on out there. And I want to separate myself and come into the house of God and focus on the truth of God's Word so that I'm not looking through this world through the information that comes from La La Land. But I'm looking through what the Lord has done. And I want to say to you this morning, but I'm get this patches. I want to say to you that what God has done is so wonderful and so glorious. We could talk about it over and over and over again. It just summed up in the hymn, how great God, how wonderful the Lord is. With that, let's read the text. Micah chapter 6. He says, hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I set before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come with him before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of the wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Here Micah, again writing around 700 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, is being told by the Lord. He says, hear ye now what the Lord saith. That's all we're laid out in God's word, exactly where Micah got his information and his instruction. That's what we can read wherever it is in the Bible. When you read the Bible, you're reading of thus saith the Lord. And he says, arise and contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. As I read about that, I think of one who lived at the same time, or around the same times as Micah, and that's the prophet Isaiah, who wrote in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1. He's talking about here, talking to the mountains and to the hills. What is he really saying? He's saying, you cried out, you speak it, you, wherever you go, you preach, you teach. That's what the ministers are called today, to lift up our voice like a trumpet and declare the truth of what the Lord has done. He said in chapter 58, in verse 1 of Isaiah, he said, cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And show, get this, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. So what he's doing here is telling, Isaiah is telling, and the Lord is telling Isaiah, and the Lord is telling Michael, you lift up your voice and be faithful. I asked earlier for you to pray that the Lord would bless me to be faithful. And I do pray that. The Apostle Paul was concerned that even after he had preached to others, he might become a castaway because he would not remain faithful. Now, we have seen men fall from their faithfulness where they did not earnestly contend. You pray that the Lord would bless me and bless all the ministers that stand before you. His brother Charles prayed in his prayer that the Lord would bless them to be faithful to rightly divide the word of truth. And then to lift up their voice and spare not, but to lift that voice up like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. And the nation of Israel was certainly in a horrible place. Here as Micah wrote to them. We read over in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah, beginning in verse 2, where Isaiah says something similar to what Micah was given to say. It says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Can God's little children rebel against him? Well, this verse certainly says they can. That's where we're to examine ourselves and to be sure that we're walking as the Lord would have us to walk. And when we see that we have failed and come fallen short, then there's answers to that. And there's direction that's given to us in the Word of God for that. He says, O hear, O heavens, and give earth, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And then he goes on and he says, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden know is talking about the nation of Israel. That was the natural people, Israel. But I believe this reference also goes to spiritual Israel that is born of the Spirit, both Jew and Gentile. If you're a little child of God, you're a part of the spiritual Israel of God. And it's important that you and I acknowledge and recognize the good things that the Lord has done for us and live our lives based upon that wonderful love that He's shown us, so that we're about showing Him that which He would be pleased with and be honoring and praising unto Him. He says, "Hear ye now what the Lord saith," back to verse 1, "Arise and contend thou before the mountain, and let the hills hear thy voice." In other words, lift up your voice, preach it and teach it. It's important for God's little children, when they preach the gospel, that they reprove and they rebuke and they exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Sometimes we don't want that correction. Sometimes we would rather just to hear the smooth things and tell me about His grace and tell me about His forgiveness. But we don't want to hear that correction that we really need to hear about, listen, we're not playing games when we come to the house of God. We're here to worship the Lord. And then when we go out the door, it's important how you live and how you walk and how you behave. Again, not in order that you might be a child of God, but that you might be pleasing to the God of heaven who has called you. He won't cast you away utterly. He won't utterly forsake you, but He sure will visit your house with the rod and with the chastening rod, which is done not out of anger in the sense of a malicious anger, but out of godly love. He will show that chastisement to His little children. Brethren, it's very important that we could be listening to His word and following His word, and we can miss much of the chastisement or the chastisement that would come in our lives as a result of us ignoring the Lord. I'll tell you, if you ignore the Lord, He's going to get your attention. If you just think you can live any old way in this world as a little child of grace and I can just get along, I can just change, I can just go any old way and there won't be any consequences. There is an absolute fact taught in the Word of God that if we show so to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. And if we sow to the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Again, this is not how someone gets eternal life. It's talking about how a little child of God lives in a way that he walks close to the Lord, that he's at peace with the Lord, that he goes through the storms of life, the troubles of life, with his house built upon a rock, where when the storms come and the waves hit, his house won't fall apart, but that he'll find the grace sufficient and the strength sufficient and the light sufficient. And all that he needs in the midst of the storm. Has the Lord not been with you through the storms of life? Where would I have been and where would I be today if the Lord wasn't with us? And if the Lord wasn't doing for us what we could not do for ourselves? He says, "Hear, O mountains, the Lord's controversy." That really means the Lord's complaint. "And ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people." In other words, here was the prophet Micah declaring unto the children of Israel, "You've messed up." You know, I don't like it when a preacher gets in the stand and tells me I've messed up, but I thank God for faithful men that are willing to do that. I thank God for faithful men that have shined the light on and things that I was thinking, things that I was on a path going one way that was leading to destruction, and the good Lord blessed him to come and preach to me the things found in God's Word. God's Word will reprove, it will rebuke, and it will exhort, and it will do it with all long-suffering and doctrine so that it is good for you. So much better is it to be able to hear the Word of God declare to us something, and then we turn from the way we were going and go another way rather than going headlong into a path that we will feel the chastening rod of the Lord in our very life in sometimes a very seemingly hard and difficult way. But listen, God's not like a parent who abuses their children. God applies every rod and every sometimes that rod of chastisement comes in the preaching of the gospel. I've been in some meetings sometimes, like I've told you before, where I went out the door feeling like somebody on the hand had band-aids because I felt so cut up and felt like, you know, felt the conviction that came when the Lord laid out in His Word where I failed. Listen, I think about where I'm at now. I'm not near as close to the Lord as I ought to be. I want to confess before you that sometimes I look at church and I don't see it to be the important place that it ought to be to me in my life. Sometimes I look at His Word and I don't see it as valuable as it is. And I never will see it as valuable as it really is. You as a little child of God need this Word. You need it daily. You need a daily appetite. You need a daily feeding on His Word. You need to. We need to stay close to Him. I don't need to just pray on Sunday or when the time comes to go into the meeting house. We need to pray every day and look to Him every day for that which we stand in need of. We don't want to just go through the motions. Sometimes our prayers are just let's quickly get it over so we can get to the meal, or let's just get to this step, or it's what we just do before as it's set up as some habit. You see, Israel thought we're doing what the Lord taught us to do. If you read over the book of Isaiah, they thought they were following the Lord and they were keeping what He had told them to do, and they were fasting and doing all the things that He had supplied for them to do, and yet they were doing it so half-heartedly. In other words, it was like, well, this is what I do and there's nothing else to do. I'm not saying that's where we are today, but I'm simply saying to you, isn't it where we can be? Isn't it where we can slip and slide? Isn't it where we can fall to? Brethren, let us realize I need the Lord in every area of my life. I need Him in my family. I need Him. So I want to be at the feet of Jesus and at the feet of my brethren. And when the house is open, I want to be at the house of God to hear the Word of God. And I want to be praying for my pastor and praying for the preachers that stand before us that the Lord would bless them in their study. Bless them in their health. Bless them as they stand to preach the gospel. And Lord, give me a ready ear so that if the preaching comforts me, thank the Lord. But if it cuts me and it points out what I need to know, do we thank the Lord as much for that sermon as we do? You know, and they are harder to preach. Listen, I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot easier to tell God's little children, the Lord's taking care of me, of everything, and He has. And His grace has delivered you, and heaven's going to be your home, than to stand before them and say, brethren, we're not reproving and rebuking and exhorting is hard. For a little child of God, especially when you feel like nobody in the place needs it more than the one in the pulpit. No one needs it more than me. I don't want to play games. I need the Lord. This little church needs the Lord. We need to recognize what He's done for us. We need to thank Him for giving me life. Thank Him for giving me a place that I can come to and have had over the years where I heard about Jesus. Jesus had already died and paid the sin debt for me a long time before I heard about it. Hearing about it didn't think it's so, but I'm so thankful that it's so. Aren't you thankful that He loved you before the foundation of the world, that when you were in the bondage of Egypt, He came where you were and brought you out of that Egyptian bondage, and just like He took them out through the Red Sea, they didn't have anything to do with it. The Lord led them across there, and they walked dry shod. Listen, when the Lord brought us out of Egyptian bondage, He brought them all out of there. Every one of them. All of His children were born of the Spirit. And then in our journey in the wilderness, has not the Lord been with us? Has He not given us manna? Has He not rained it from heaven? Has He not given us water from the rock that followed us? Jesus Christ, is He not today? And so often, as Jeremiah said, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hidden that for themselves, cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. How many broken cisterns has this old Lord trusted in down through the years? Oh, may you and I tear up those old cisterns and trust in the living water that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, and lean on Him and depend upon Him. That's what Micah's telling them. Micah says the Lord has a controversy with His people, and He will plead with Israel. The word plead here means He's going to bring charges against them. I'm telling you, don't we stand today guilty? We're guilty. He says, O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? In other words, how has God really treated us? And just think about that for a minute. Has He not kept every promise that He's ever made? Has He not been with us every time that He said He would be with us? Has He given us more to do than He gives us the ability to do? Has He wearied us? You know, the taskmasters of Egypt, when they complained to them, you know what they did? He said, we can't, you know, we got all these bricks, and, you know, we need straw for these bricks. And he said, well, if you want to complain about them, then go ahead and we'll have you make these bricks without any straw. In other words, when you complain to the world, put your complaints out in the world and see what they do with you. I'm telling you, when we look to the Lord, we have a Lord who hasn't wearied us at all. He hasn't asked us anything but what is our reasonable service. And he goes in and he says, for I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He says, O my people, testify against me. And he says, for I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. We think, well, if I'd have come out of the land of Egypt and the Lord had redeemed us out of the house of that bondage, and I had seen Moses and Aaron and Miriam, I would be different. I trust more in the Lord. Listen, they saw all that. We have been delivered even in a greater way. The Lord has brought us from a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ. The Lord has redeemed us in that Jesus died for us on the cross and washed all of our sins away, never to be remembered against us anymore. We were in bondage in sin. We were under the condemnation of death and in the bondage of Satan and could not deliver ourselves. Didn't want to. And the Lord delivered us. He's done that for us. And then he sent before us Moses and Aaron and Miriam. God has sent to us all that we stand in need of. First, he sent us the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Master Teacher. And then he gave us the apostles and the written word of God. And then he gave us ministers of the gospel to preach that gospel and declare that gospel. And he's left that in this world, and he will continue to be here until he comes again. Has the Lord left us without God? No, he's given us the truth. And he says, O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted. And what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. What is this all about? I encourage you to read Numbers. Chapters 22 to Numbers chapter 24. Just read that whole account. You'll find the prophet Balaam there, who was a preacher that kind of wanted to get some of the stuff of this world along with his preaching. He wanted to follow God, but he also had one eye on God and one eye on the world. And so Balaam was a prophet that would, you know, he wanted to say other things than what God would have him to say. Balak was the king of Moab, and Balak saw the children of Israel coming and got afraid of them. If you read about this in Numbers 22, and he wanted Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel. Balaam said, I can't curse what God has not cursed. I can't turn against God's people. In other words, this preacher who wanted to make me do that in order to gain some of the monetary benefit of doing that, said, I can only do what God gives me to say. I can only say what God gives me to say. And so for three times, Balak tried to convince Balaam to curse the people of Israel. And every time he'd do that, Balaam would come, and rather than curse the people of Israel, he'd end up blessing the people of Israel. You know why? Because God gave him that to do. Balaam, though he wanted to do otherwise, God took care of his children. What's the lesson here? Is that even when men rose up against you to destroy you and do harm to you, you know you're so protected by the Lord that even when your enemies rise up to do you harm. The God of heaven is watching over you and protecting you. And God's promises are going to stand sure. His eternal promises and his timely promises. You can simply count on them. And so Balak and Balaam, Balaam the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim to unto Gilgal. That means from this side of Jordan onto the other side of Jordan, all the way into the promised land, from Shittim and Gilgal, God's righteousness was with his people. He took care of them. His righteous acts were with them. He watched over them. Even though a prophet wanted to go otherwise, and the king that was an enemy wanted to go otherwise, God took care of him. And I haven't done justice to that. You read Numbers 22 to Numbers 24, and it's a wonderful explanation of what this verse is saying. He says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands rams, or with 10,000 the rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, and the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? The children of Israel, I believe, hearing this, said, what can we do to get this right? Sometimes we hear it and say, Lord, how can I live better? How can I act better? What is it required of me, Lord? What is it that you would have me to do? And most of the time, we go way over into things that the Lord never required of us at all, and try to do things in order to make ourselves acceptable before God. Have you been on that ride, so to speak, where you were trying to get it right by your own efforts? I'm trying to believe enough. I'm trying to work enough. Sometimes I'll make an effort to preach, and I feel so inadequate in my effort, and I'll think, well, I'll tell you what I'll do this week. I'll just study a whole lot more, and I'll just go more to the book, and I'll be more faithful. And that should take care of it. Listen, I'm telling you, the only thing that can help us is the Lord himself. And the only thing that can give you the strength that you need to walk like you ought to walk, and think like you ought to think, and behave like you behave, it's not what you can do. It's what we need from the Lord, and the direction and the instruction that comes from him. He goes on in verse 8 and he says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. You really want to see what's good? Then read about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how he lived and how he walked, what he did, how he came here into this world. And you know, the only goodness that you and I really will ever have, and the only goodness that we ever need, is what was given to us through him. It was his obedience. It was his goodness. It is what he has done for us. That's the only way we'll be acceptable with God in heaven. And it's the only way we are acceptable here. We have been what? Made accepted in the beloved. He says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? What is it the Lord requires of thee? He says, but to do justice. Now, how in the world can you and I, who are so unrighteous, do justly? By walking in faith, trusting in the Lord. You know, when we trust in him, we have in our minds and in our thoughts what he has done for us. And that is, he's paid the sin debt, he's washed us whiter than snow. And though I don't have the ability to do what he would have me to do in myself, in him, as the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The Bible teaches that whatsoever is not of faith, it is sin. And so I have to go trusting in the Lord. So when I stand before the Lord's people, I have to trust in the Lord. When you're sitting in the congregation, you have to trust in the Lord. When you go out into this world, we go trusting in the Lord. But that's what the Lord requires. Again, not to have to become his child, but because you are. What does the Lord require of thee? To do justly and to love mercy. Oh, not just want show mercy, but to love it. Sometimes we show mercy, but we're not very happy about it. In other words, I'm going to forgive them, but I really don't want to. I'm going to turn the other cheek, but I'd rather punch them in the mouth. You know, just to have that old, that nature, love, mercy. I'm telling you, we can. But when we go to the Lord, is he not our help? Is he not our hope? He can give you that heart. When you pray to him and you look to him and you believe in him, he'll give you that heart. Not only can he will. When we ask him for a good thing, he's a good God. He'll give us those good things that we ask him for. That's what he's teaching you. Again, not how you become a child of God, but how you act like a little child of God. And he says to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, he says in James, if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Don't believe that. That's what the Word of God says. If we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. The devil, Brother Mike and I were walking in, I told him, I said, I really appreciate the work y'all did inside. It looks good. He said, the devil's been telling me that too. And I know what he meant by that. It doesn't take when we do something good. Sometimes the next thing you know, we're thinking, boy, I really did a good thing there. That's what it meant. I'll explain that. Right, Brother Mike? Is that what you meant? Okay. That's what I took that he meant. I said, I didn't know how the devil had time to deal with him. Because he's been bothering me all night. He's been with me. Has he been with you? We got a battle, don't we? We have a fight, don't we? We're in warfare. Don't think this world isn't your enemy. The devil's one problem. The world's another problem. And I'll tell you, your biggest problem is what's in you and what's in me. This whole flesh that we have to contend with. That's the biggest enemy. But the good news is that we can't do it on our own, but we have a Savior. And he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When I look to him, I can walk like I'm supposed to walk and act like I'm supposed to act. And it's easy to do on Sunday morning when you're about to go to church, but about Tuesday evening when the wife says something you didn't really want her to say, or when something comes up on this way, the old words can come. Can they not come out of your mouth, things that you think, why would I say that to somebody I love so dear? To one of my children? More importantly, that I dishonor the God of heaven who's done so much to me. Has he not done something for us? Has he not been good to us? Where did he not keep his part? Where? Anywhere? He's a faithful God. And I say to you today, we owe him our very best. It's required to walk humbly. Humble. Keep me humble. Not so humble you get proud of. Keep me humble. Keep me humble. Well, sometimes we can say, well, I'm the most humble person I know. What a statement. I'm sure glad I'm humble like this. Like, I'm not like that one. I'm much more humble. Well, listen. Humility is a labor that you'll never get to. You continue to labor. He says, and to walk humbly with thy God. He says, the Lord's voice cries unto the city. He's speaking to us. And the man of wisdom shall see thy name. We can hear that. I hope we've heard it. And it says, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it. In other words, God's not going to let you and me as his little children get away with going on acting any old way. That's really what he's saying to us. So let's heed and follow him. You pray for me that I will. It's easy. It's hard for me to preach this. I'll be honest with you that I much prefer other things, but I know I need to be faithful to the Word. But it's even more hard to practice. To speak it's one thing, but then to practice. May the Lord bless us to practice. That we would live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. Put off the old man. Ephesians 4, read that. We put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in the image of him that created. We're to put on that man. Walk in the Spirit, and he shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. And the Lord bless us. Do that. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you. I appreciate your kind attention.